Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Dude, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I was singing the words. I don't know why I just started coming to mind the words of the Jack Hafer song, Majesty, worship His Majesty, unto Jesus be all glory, honor, and praise. I tell you what, I just hope that we can focus on the Lord and keep first things as we continue our journey. I like this little picture here. This is an interesting place. Bev, Vivian, you've been here. I'm sure you've been here. Beg your pardon? You're correct. Yep, that's the Sea of Galilee, and particularly here, this area is the Chorazin Plateau, which is most likely where Jesus gave his Sermon on the Mount. So, does that picture look anything like what it looks like there? There you go. All right. Well, so there's Sea of the Galilee. There's a little map for you. So you folks who enjoy maps and kind of get an idea, we're talking just north of the Sea of Galilee here. It's this beautiful little plateau. And on this plateau, there are several hills. And so, you know, as we've come, as our nation, as a group of people, we've come to this area of this contention. We thought we were going to be the end of the contentious election cycle, but we're not quite there yet. So we're hoping to get there. Praise the Lord. But God is still on the throne, and I want you to know that we have the same mission now that we had a week ago, right? The same mission that we had a week ago. And we certainly live in a culture that has been for quite some time moving away from a Judeo-Christian-centric culture to what has been dubbed the post-Christian society. Now, I'd like to kind of push back on that a little bit, and I'd admonish each one in our church family and you, dear listener, not to abandon your faith in the practice of your citizenship, okay? Don't abandon your faith in the practice of your citizenship. Keep praying. Keep praying. These are important times. And as I was thinking about that this week, I was thinking about Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, one particular part that I think will be helpful for us. As Jesus, you know, it's nice to look at these very areas where Jesus was, because sometimes when we think about Jesus, we forget, you know, that he was a real person and walked in these areas. He was God incarnate, and yet the same areas that we walk, Jesus was walking. You know, we can walk in those areas. We can see what he saw, and that's neat to me. And so as Jesus, according to Matthew's gospel, he gathered them together, his followers, and he began to teach. He told them the Beatitudes, you know, blessed are they, blessed are you, all these different blesseds, and then he immediately talks to them about their identity. And that's what I think is crucial for us. Because I gotta be honest, as I've watched comments and I've heard commentary, I've been a little disappointed for some of the things that I've read and seen and some of the reactions and some folks. I don't want us to cast our faith aside. And so I want to admonish us all today with Jesus' words about who we are in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. And this is what Jesus said. He said, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. I could add the caveat, especially when it's icy. No, but we're not going to say. And it goes on to verse 14. It doesn't say that. That was just my addition there. Verse 14, he goes on and says, in addition, okay, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Okay, so I want to just ask you this question. A city on the hill cannot be hidden, right? Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So I want to talk about a couple things here today. Okay, first of all, Jesus in his teaching here didn't say, be like salt and be like light, did he? He said, you are. So he wasn't telling us you need to act like salt and you need to act like light. It was something far deeper than this. Okay? He was saying you are. In other words, it was our identity. And I think that that's critical because a lot of us try to work on our Christianity from the outside in instead of allowing it from the inside out. That's another sermon. But for today, let's look at Jesus said, you are salt and you are the light of the world. And, as some have looked at this crazy time in our nation's history in which we're living now, and they're asking the question, now what? And I'd like to tell you that this is a good lesson for us to reflect on, that we are salt, the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the world. So today I want to talk to you about salt and light from a biblical perspective. All right? Now, these are important things in Jesus' time, okay? Now, today when we think of salt, how many of you love salt? You like salty things, right? I know. They got your savories and your sweets, and that's a big thing. And salt is something. And we think of salt, though, and often we think of it from how we use salt. And we have had some substantial shift in our culture. Now, I like very flavorful foods. My wife likes kind of some more bland foods. I know you'd never think of that looking at our personalities, but I like very, very bold things and I like lots of flavor. So sometimes I'll have a bowl of soup and I'll be like it. So I'll add salt I have a spice called Slap Ya Mama and I like that. So everything needs a little spice on it. My mom is not here to slap and I wouldn't do that, but I like spicy, bold, very, very salty things. Sometimes I try to eat spinach. And if I have to eat spinach, I'd rather eat it raw. Because if you cook spinach, to me, I can't choke. I literally have to choke down spinach unless it's got stuff on it when it's cooked. I just can't stand the taste of just spinach. So I either have to put butter or bacon or a lot of salt. And if you put butter and bacon, it's no use even eating the spinach, right? So I like salt. How many of you like steak? We have some vegetarians. Let's not. Sorry about that. This is not trying to go that. But for me, if I have a really nice cut of meat, all I want on it is a little salt and pepper. Okay, and I like it. So you cut it and you hear the cow. If you just there, so if you tried hard, you could bring it back to life. Okay, that's how I prefer it. And I just like just some salt and some pepper on it. If you have a piece of meat that needs steak sauce, in my mind, you might as well make hamburger. Okay? I don't think that. So salt is something I know we're all hungry now. Maybe some Riley seasoning on it, but that's it. So for me, salt makes things more palatable. You know what I mean? So we think of it and we think of salt. And now, if we're thinking that we are the salt of the earth, as a believer, certainly, I can testify to the fact that life with Jesus, because unlike a lot of you who were born in the choir and have stayed your entire life in church and have never sinned and always, you have the entire Bible memorized and you've never had a problem, I wasn't like that. I had a BC. And I've lived life without Christ and I've lived life with Christ. And I'm here to testify to you today. I would not change life with Christ. Life with Christ is better. Period. I wouldn't go back. If I didn't think that, I'd have gone back. But the reason that I say is because there's something wonderful. Not only am I convinced that Jesus is who he claimed to be and that what he has said, he has the words of life. But I understand life with and life without. And so for me, yes, that's the salt. I understand that it's better. But I think that this can be part of the first error that we have to be careful of in trying to be the salt of the earth and light of the world. We're not supposed to make Christ following more palatable for both believers and non-believers. Jesus takes care of that all in and of himself. Okay? This is a problem that I think has happened in our theological areas of our world right now. You know, we have this mistake that people try to make following Christ more palatable. And you've heard me say this before, this testimony that says, if you follow Jesus, you'll have no more problems. That's not true. That is not true. When you follow Jesus, you're going to have problems. In fact, sometimes following Christ is going to cause more problems. Hello? But you're not going to be alone. You will not be alone, for God is with us. And I fear that this mindset of trying to make Christ more palatable has hampered the church in our culture, because we've so watered down what it means to follow Christ that it's no longer following Christ. It's at this level, it becomes a conscious appeasing social club or a social justice movement. And neither of these are accurate depictions of a true Christ follower. You do not try to follow social justice to be a Christ follower. You follow Christ, and in following Christ, you pursue justice. Okay? So we have to have our priorities straight. And we have a very, very difficult time right now in our crazy polarized culture of removing the first thing that needs to be the first thing. Okay? So point one of three quick points today is, a follower of Christ has given Jesus lordship of their life. You see, Jesus said something that was pretty profound. He said that we must be born again. In Luke chapter 9, 23 through 26, Jesus is giving another type of example of looking at this. He says, and he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Okay? So there's something in pursuing Christ. There is a change. We have to leave, to make him Lord. We have to be born again. That's what he said in the Gospel of John as he was talking to Nicodemus. He said, look, if you want to follow Christ, you have to be born again. And to be born again means you have to leave the womb. Otherwise, you're pregnant. At such time that you are born again, you actually leave the womb. There are some who have not left the womb of sin, the womb of rebellion, the womb of self-centeredness, and the womb of self-righteousness. Gang, we have to be born again. If we're going to follow Christ, okay, we have to give him lordship of our life. 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, in chapter 6, 19 through 20, Paul says it like this: you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Now, if we have been born again through Jesus, that means we have a new life. The old is gone, the new has come. So what is Jesus saying about this new life? That we are salt and we are the light of the world. So let's kind of unpack that a little bit. Two ways I want to look at this. Number one, so point two, the first part is we are salt. Everybody say, I am salt. Okay? Salt is much more, as I said, much more than just taste and making something more palatable. What else does salt mean? Now, in Jesus' time, salt was very valuable. It was a valuable commodity. In fact, there were other cultures at the time of Jesus around that when a baby was born, they would literally rub salt on the baby. Sometimes they would have salt water and they would dip the baby in salt water. Why? To try to stop infection from spreading. If you had a piece of meat and you didn't consume it, you could take salt and you could rub salt on it and it would prevent that meat from decay. In other words, salt was essential to resist rapid decomposition brought on by the environment around. Do you get where I'm going right now? So if Jesus said, you are salt, you are the salt of the earth, gang, We, as salt, we are to be agents opposing the decomposition of God's intent in the world. Okay? In other words, salt is here. It should be active in our decision-making process. Gang, I gotta tell you, no matter how things finally turn out between lawsuits and recounts and everything, are we willing to work diligently to be agents resisting moral decomposition in this earth? That's part of who we are. Not what we do, who we are. John Stott once said that one can hardly blame meat for going bad. It cannot do anything else. The real question we should be asking is, where is the salt? And so as we look at the de-evolution of our culture, there's a good question. Where is the salt? Remember that Wendy's commercial? How many of you remember the old Wendy's commercial with, where's the beef? The lady would drive up and, where's the beef? Where's the beef? Well, where's the salt? I had a friend who found, I don't know how this is possible, but I remember they found a fast food cheeseburger. I'm not going to say which brand. Da, 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 da. And they found this cheeseburger in the back of their car. And it had been there for weeks, gang, weeks. And they opened up the cheeseburger wrapper, no mold. Mm-hmm. I leave my coffee cup, because I like cream in my coffee. I leave my coffee cup in my car and get busy, and I don't pull it out for a couple of days, and I take off the lid, and I have a science experiment growing in there. Okay? So something, gang, the deal is we, as the salt of the earth, you know, that we're in a nation that is degrading fast, and we are supposed to be agents resisting. We are supposed to be opposing the decomposition of God's intent in the earth. There was a troubling statistic in 2016. I shared this in our coffee talk. Only 10% of Christians in the 2016 election said that they allowed the Bible to shape their political views. The majority said that they instead had their friends, their family, or the media they watched form their political opinions. So look, gang, we are called to be salt. We are supposed to be agents of resisting change. So let's go on to our third part, our point three. We are not just salt, we are light. Not that we should act like, but we are. So many people look at their faith as salt to make Jesus more tasteful, more palatable. Okay? He does that just fine. Jesus can take care of that just fine. The benefits of following Christ, in my opinion, far outweigh the trials. I truly believe that. In this world, we're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's what Jesus said. Trials are temporary, but the blessings of God are eternal. Our trials are temporary, but the blessings of God last forever. Thank you, Jesus. Now, salt, in the Bible, salt was a wonderful and a beautiful thing. And we are called to be agents to resist this deterioration. But salt was also a sign of covenant. A salt covenant in the Bible is a beautiful thing. What they would do is one individual would take their pouch of salt, and another one would take their pouch of salt, and they'd take a handful, and they'd pour it down and mix it together. Then they'd gather what they had mixed. Now, if you mix salt together, do you think you can separate those things back again? You have salt, you have salt. You pour it down, you mix it, and then you put it back. Are you going to be able to pick those? That's a depiction of faithfulness and enduring covenant. It's a covenant. It's letting us say that nothing is going to pull us apart. And that is our identity in Jesus Christ. Salt should be a sign of our covenant, our commitment to Jesus. And salt should be the sign that we are resisting the decay of the earth. And that's not where your faith stops. So as I told you, we're not just salt. And salt is kind of looking like we're on the defense. And many Christians, that's what they're comfortable with. We want to resist the world. We want to resist. We want to not have the world have an impact on us. Not the world have an effect on us. But that's not where your faith stops. And that's what my message is here today. My third point is the most important point. Your faith is not just defense. And that's what's gotten us, my church family, that's what's gotten us in trouble. you are also light. What does light do? Light shines. It shines. We are not just any light. We are the light of the world. Where does light shine? It shines in darkness. It helps people find their way. I remember a tough winter a few years ago when we had one of those storms and the power went off. And it was when the kids were young, and so we heard, you know, you hear the fan stop or the heater stop, and all of a sudden, we have a beep that goes on, and the smoke alarm beeps, and we're like, what? And all of a sudden, we heard the kids on the other side of the room, Dad, Mom, what's going on? Okay. It's dark. You couldn't see anything. So what do? We found their way to their room and lit a candle to help them find their way to our room. My church family, we are around people who are living in spiritual darkness. The world wants to tell you that it's rude to shine your light. How dare you shine your life light onto someone else's view? But I don't believe that it's rude at all. I think it's actually love. I'm not saying to do so in an arrogant or a prideful way. But as Jesus did, as coming to be a servant, even though he was Lord of all, Jesus was giving us some understanding. You see, the Bible, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible has numerous prophecies to prove its trustworthiness beyond all other books. All other books. Tell me one other time in the world that a man said, I'm going to die and come back to life. And then did it. Validated by hundreds of people. I believe that we have other books that people put their trust in, but they only validate what Scripture has already declared. Furthermore, nothing that I have seen in my experience has changed lives, has delivered captives, and offered hope and restoration like the gospel of Jesus Christ. No other message. The world wants you to hide your light and not shine it to those who are separated from the Father. But I want to tell you this. He has sent you. You are the light of the world. We are called to shine that light. And so he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. So shining your light isn't about winning an argument. It's about letting people know that there's a God who loves them and getting them to Jesus. It's not about building a church. It's not about building a community. It's about building his church and letting people know that God loves them. That is the call. Jesus said, you are salt and you are the light of the world. I tell you this, just like any child, anyone who is, if you're like that child today, if you're stuck in darkness, if you're looking at your life and maybe all this stuff has just buried you and you think, I can't find a way out. Maybe you're like my kiddo. You're like calling out, I don't know where to go. I want you to know that there's a God who loves you and who is longing for you to come home to be with him. And he has made a way. Just come to him. C.S. Lewis said that there's only two kinds of people in this world. Those who say to God, thy will be done. And those to whom God says, all right then, have it your way. Your will be done. He is here for you today. And I want you to know that you, worship band, you can go ahead and come on up. I want you to know that today you can be born again. If you're listening here today, whether you're in the room or one of the other places and you've never given your life to Jesus and you've tried to find your way and maybe this world just doesn't make any sense to you anymore, I want you to know that there is hope. And I want to encourage all those who are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now is not the time to put your light under a bushel. Now is the time to let your light shine so that people can find the love of God. That's what our calling is. Be salt. You are salt. You are light. Would you stand to your feet and would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, I pray for your church here today. Lord, I pray that we, as we have examined this word, as we have looked into the scripture, as we have tried to understand what you're saying about our identity, I pray, God, that we would give you our hearts. I pray, God, that we would allow you to come in and to cause us to hear your heart behind everything that we've shared today. Lord, for those who have tried so hard to just be peaceable and polite and never ever risk stepping out and shining and sharing the gospel, Lord, I pray that we would have courage and boldness to be who you've called us to be. I pray that we would be convicted not to take our light and hide it under a bushel, not to take it and not allow it to shine. Lord, I pray that you would allow us the grace through your love, because you are love, that we can share the truth in love. Father, allow us the courage to conquer our fear in doing so. And Father, I pray, God, for those today, whether they're here, whether they're watching online or watching at another time, and they're just like my kids were in the darkness. They're having trouble finding their way and nothing's making sense and they're struggling. God, I pray that they would know that you are the light of the world, that we've been called to share the light of the gospel to them. Lord, any person who's listening today, and if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, I invite you to pray with me right now. Father in heaven, I come to you as a sinner. I'm asking for your forgiveness. Father, I can't make it on my own. I acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Lord, and I make him Lord of my life. I receive the forgiveness of sins that he's promised by faith, and I ask you to come and be Lord of my entire life. Save me. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I just want to congratulate you, and I want to follow up with you. I encourage you to please, you know, give me a call, send me an email, reach out to the church, or tell someone else around so that we can continue to walk with you for the next steps. You know, if you've prayed and you want to continue to grow, we want to walk with you, to get you baptized, to continue to move forward and to give you fellowship and strength and encouragement on your journey with God. And church family, to all of you, you are salt. You are the light of the earth. Let's shine. Let's not only resist, but let's have an impact that God wants us to on this world that he's called us to walk in. God bless you.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.